Our Lord and our Savior, you are exalted this morning. We exalt you in our hearts. We exalt you in this sanctuary. We worship your holy name. Lord, even as we go into the world this morning, may you come unto us once again in a new way. May your word not fall on stony hearts. Give us the heart of flesh. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. Let us put hands together for the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome us to service this morning. By the grace of God, I'll be doing a little bit of a brief teaching on something that is very important to this church in particular and to Christendom in general. It's a pity that many of our people have traveled because of the closure, but one way or the other, I may still have to refer to some of these things later on when we have a full house. And what am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about the ethics of the house. Ethics of the house. Every place, every organization usually have what they call code of conduct. True of us. Go to any corporate organization that worth its salt. In that organization, there must be code of conduct. Because they have to set and put it clearly to everyone what is allowed and what is prohibited within that organization. And also, we need to realize that in the church, in the house of God, there are ethics as prescribed by the Bible. We are not just doing our own things. We are not just gathering together to do what we like. Certain things gather our guardian and the children of God. And I'm going to take my text this morning from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. If I'm able to finish this teaching today, fine, but if not, I'll continue later on. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to read verse 15. But if I tarry long, give me New King James Version, NKJV. NKJV, please. Good. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and the pillar and ground of truth. Timothy was a young bishop of Ephesus, pastoring a dynamic church, pastoring a growing church. The church was booming, the growth was coming, and so many people were coming in. And Paul heard about what was going on in the church of Ephesus. Some were commendation, some were criticism, some were things that gave him joy, some were things that gave him concern, and he then decided to take his pen and put on paper and send to Timothy, if I do not come on time, I need to tell you how you need to do all to conduct yourselves in the church of God, the pillar and the ground of truth. In other words, Paul was trying to guide Timothy, to guide the growth of the church in Ephesus, so that the church will not become something else. Church of God is the ground of truth. It is the pillar and the ground of the house of God. Church of God is not a political party meeting. In political party meeting, you have caucuses. In fact, intrigues is the hallmark of political party, true or false. They are in the same political party, whether PDP or APC. But within that political party, they are scheming against one another. They still belong to the same party. They may be holding the broom. They may be holding the umbrella. But when they wear agbada, there is knife they put at the back. So that the moment they go, they stab you. The Church of God is a secular arena. It's not a secular arena. It's a sacred congregation. It is not a place of party. It is a place where you are the guardian of people of purpose. And therefore, we must realize that there are certain conducts that are allowed in the house of God. There are some that are not allowed. So it does not matter what your bringing is. It does not matter what your background. You can't say, that's my background. That's where we do well. That's my own upbringing. No. When you come to a particular place, you look at the ethics of that place, the conduct that's accepted in that place, and you fit in or you jet out. You can't say, this is me. This is my background. This is where I'm coming from. If you are coming from background Nigeria, where you can just disobey traffic light, go to UK and do that and see what's going to happen. Say, don't you know I come from Nigeria? Don't you know where we do, how we be, where we come from? No, you have come to a different environment. And therefore, you must conduct yourself within the ambit or within the confines of the ethics of that community. But why is it difficult for the people who come to church to conduct themselves we need ambient affairs? And that's why today, the churches, all of us, pastors in Nigeria, we are gathering people, but we are not gathering substance. Because there's no ethics, there's no standard. And I want to say that even for us in this church, we need to remind ourselves, we need to put it on marble. What are the ethics of this church? And anybody who wants to associate or be a part of this ministry must follow the ethics. Irrespective of where you are coming from, it is better to have 50 who are going to heaven than having 1,000 who are going nowhere. And central to the ethics of the church are four cardinal things I'm going to talk about. You have orderliness. You have obedience. You have reverence, and you have modesty. And if we as pastors, as churches of God, can ensure that these ethics are followed in the church today, the church of God will have more respect and will be able to be more effective. So this morning, I will take a little time to talk about what are these ethics as enshrined in the Bible, as encapsulated in the scripture, not just the wisdom of man. And please, from now onward, I'm still going to re-emphasize it again when others are run again and again. These ethics should be strictly followed in this ministry going forward. The first thing I talk about, orderliness. What the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, said, let all things be done decently and in order. Let everything be done. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Say, let everything done decently and in order. Let me tell you something. God has put the setting of the order in a local assembly on the authority of that assembly. In this church, for instance, I could just tell people, we preach two messages. One is preached from the pulpit, another one is through the pastoral chat, two of us. It doesn't mean that's what happens in other churches. But that is the order we have set here. Am I right? In some churches, there has to be Sunday school before the service. That's the order. So, in every local assembly, God has invested in the order of that assembly to say the order of service is not put. Show me in the Bible where the order of service, church service, is written. Maybe Reverend Dana has read that part of the scripture. So, but the moment the order is set by the church authority and you come into that assembly, you must follow. Otherwise, you are just wasting your time. You don't belong. You are just playing around. And church is not a playing ground. And central to this, we want to talk about the order in the church. What is the thing that they do in the church? Let me talk, even the seating arrangement. The way we have set this seat, is it written in the Bible? That's where you should arrange it. Maybe by the pastor. Sometimes we're sitting down here. Now we're here. Did we read it in the Bible? But when we are said, well, this is where you should sit. For instance, the ushers are supposed to guide us in ordering the seating arrangement. You then come. Usher says, sit down here. You say, no, I'm going to sit down there. You are disrupting the order. Seating arrangement is part of the order of the church. Except you have a medical condition or a peculiar situation. When the usher tells you, sit down here, you sit down there. And there's any particular reason why that can't be a medical condition, you move close to the usher and say, sir, ma, maybe I'm pregnant and I'm vomiting. I may need to quickly go out to the toilet. If I go inside, the thing will come out. Then we know you have a peculiar condition. But except there's a peculiar condition, part of the order is when sitting arrangement, when the order says, sit down here, you sit down there. And I've said, I don't want backbenchers in this church again. We have said it before, I preached a message on the friends of Sister Martha and Brother Eutychus. So the sitting arrangement is part of the order. Even also, we have said that when you come to the church, you do not use your phone. You are disrupting the order. When you see people in the church service going on, and they are still pinging, they are still having side talks, they are still gisting with their friends. That is against, don't be an agent of disruption of the order of the church. Orderliness is part of the code of conduct or ethics of the house. See the way the chairs here. After the end of the service, some people want to hold a meeting. Yes, about 10 or 5 of you, you now rearrange the chair. And they finish the meeting and they sit and they walk away. You have disrupted the order. That was not the way the seat was before you disorganize it. You rearrange it to be comfortable and coming for your meeting. After the meeting, you put back in order. When you came to this church, you didn't see any paper, anything on ground. At the end of service, you are waiting, hanging around, or gisting, or talking, or having a legitimate meeting. You go out to buy biscuits and come inside the church and eat it. And you finish eating, you put the bottle of Coke and then the line of biscuit, and you walk away. You are disrupting the order. Orderliness is part of the ethics of the church. You don't just do what you like. You see,
Something happened. See, no matter how anointed you are, when you disobey the other, there are their consequences. It might look small. Many people will be talking about what happened to Uzzah. But you know what? Let me just either remind you or open eyes to something here. Let us go to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 3. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. Now listen. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, do what? They drove the new cart. The car that carried the ark was coming out of the house of Abinadab. That is, it must be a man of repute for you to be housing that. Two of us. Was that not any man? And he had two sons. These two sons, they were the ones driving the cart. That's to tell you Uzzah and Ahio, they were sons of Abinadab who was housing the ark. What a great service. What a unique privilege. What a place of eminence. Housing the ark. Two sons. But in the order, their job was to drive it. Are you listening to me? Yes, their father housed the ark. Yes, they were the driver. But that's where their order ends. They were not supposed to touch the ark. But the moment there was a shaking, they broke the rank. Move out of the order. Uzzah broke the rank, moved out of that, and went to the order that does not belong to him. And that was why he died. Look at his background. Look at his pedigree. Look at his genealogy. But what killed him? Not following the set order. Certain things look small. When you are disobeying the ushers, you are disobeying the pastor, you are disobeying God. That's what you don't realize. But maybe that's his more sister, maybe just no more brother. No, that is the representative of God at that particular time. So in the church, orderliness, tidiness must be respected. Even when you are in the church and you notice there's a piece of paper on the ground, even you are not the one that put there, because you are mindful of tidying and honest, you pick it and take it out. You might not have known what you are. You see that you are walking and find that some chairs are disorganized. You rearrange it. You are respecting the order in the church. Because the way we have set the chairs here is the way we want the order to be. The moment it's not that way, it's against the order. Don't be an agent of disruption. Now, quickly, I want to say something about obedience. There cannot be order if there's no obedience. Do you agree with me? And what is this? If you actually someone that respect the order in this church, when you look at your life, you see order coming to that life. Believe me, those who follow the due order in the house of God, when you look at their lives, when you look at their homes, when you look at their career, you see God bringing order into it. It is just transfer. It is a thing of the spirit. You try to do it. Be someone that follows the order of the church. You don't come to the church to start pressing your phone. Don't come to the church to start pinging. Since the church has said we don't allow it, say you don't allow it. When you follow the order, you find out that it translates into your personal life. Now, if there is no obedience is very key. You know one thing?
I was reading Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. And it came clearly to me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Where in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. You come to church because you now say, I give my life to Christ. I am now a child of God. But the Bible says, in the time past, what happened? You walk according to the course of this world. What is the course of this world? The course of this world, do it as it pleases you. That the course of this world. You do what is convenient for you. You do what is pleasing unto you. You don't want anybody to regulate you. That is the course of this world. But the Bible is saying that is it should be in the time past. That should not be present. And according to the spirit, is that according to the prince or the power of the air? Now, what does that mean? The prince of the power of the air, that is whatever is trending. See, the prince of the power of the air controls what's in vogue. If today the prince of the power of the air may say, well, the trending hairstyle is punk. And I will say, no, it's no longer the trending now, it's now skin. And that may become, and that will come up. And if you are following the move of the environment, you are following the dictate of the prince of the power of the as the wind blows. Rather than guiding the sail of the ship of your life, you leave it at the mercy of the wind of the environment. And the church is there to guide you so that you don't follow the wind. And therefore they said, look, this kind of things should not be done. And the next you say, they are preaching do's and don'ts. They are judgmental. They are restricting us. They don't want us to blow. Obedience. Do not be a disobedient child. You hear the word from the pulpit, you hear the messages, and just go away as if it doesn't matter. And that's what brings worldliness into the church. Because people are not ready to listen. They want to follow their own way. They just say, is it my head of unit? That is own. He has said his own, I'll go and do my own. Said the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. So what am I saying? Follow the order in the church, but with the spirit of obedience. But so many people are very stubborn. They have their own way. They are set in their own minds. And when you guide them, it's either they despise you, they ignore you, or they walk away from you. But let me say that from now on, what we want to be emphasizing in this church, members of this church must follow other set order in the church. Members of this church, we encourage them to walk in obedience. Disobedience will not be encouraged. Not because we are going to be using the method of the world, but we are going to be using the words of the scripture and the grace that God has given us. Know that when you are disobeying even your unit head, you are disobeying God. As long as he's giving you a lawful and godly directive. Are you listening to me? Let us respect it. Let us follow it. Don't let us turn church to Banana Republic, where people just do what they like. Where people follow the course of the world.
where people obey the dictate of the priesthood here. We say people should dress decently, and some people still go and get their skirt. Is it what they call? Is it slit now? They will make the slit that will draw almost to their revealing their pants. Why don't you walk naked and unmask the Asian masquerade? Don't follow the trend. You come here as a lady and you cannot even bend down to greet your pastor. Your treasures are coming out. What kind of thing is that? That should not be allowed in the house of God. And as I was reading this passage, I was saying, maybe Paul was not just written to Ephesus. Jesus is writing to the church that it's appear I'm not coming on time and things are going haywire. Go back and realize how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. And gradually, because of modernization, because of civilization, because of development, we are walking away from that path. Not realizing that in the church, there must be code of ethics. The third thing I want to talk about this morning, I talk about the reference. Reference God. When you come to the house of God, the first thing, you come to reference God because you honor him. You see him as your Lord. So you come to reference him. And referencing him, you also give respect to the leaders and elders in the church. Don't be full of yourself. You are here to receive guidance. Let me tell you something. Church is a remodeling center. Are you listening to me? You might be anything. That's why I said, look, anybody can come to church. Prostitute can come to church. Drunkards can come to church. Gamblers can come to church. Fraudsters can come to church. It does not matter. But when you come to the church is supposed to remodel you. It's a remodeling center. But that can happen when you come and you have obedience to God and reference to authority. But when people come to church and they are full of themselves, even God will find it difficult to touch their lives. And I will just show you a few things here quickly. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Said, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Do you listen to that? Let me read it again. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Who gave order here? Did they have to read it in epistle in the books of Moses? Say, I, Paul, as I have given order, so do ye. And when your leader, your pastor, tells you this is what is right, he said no. Why did they defer to Paul? Because they reference God and they reference him. Because they were not full of them. Those churches, they had pastors, two of us. They had elders, two of us. They had leaders, two of us. But they defer to Paul. They reference his authority. Don't get me wrong. They were not worshiping him. That's even if you don't reference somebody and worshiping the person. They reference the authority of Paul. Say, as I have given order. And so when the church is saying, yes, you have a right, but these things are not expedient. The Bible says all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not explained. Is that not 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12? Say all things. Maybe you can project letters. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Now, can somebody tell me what's the meaning of expediency? What is expedient is what is proper in a particular circumstance or place. What is expedient is what is proper in a particular place or circumstance. So let me say, Church of God is not a place for activism. It's not a place for human rights activists. It's my fundamental human right. If I like, I can wear micro mini skirt. Did the church buy it for me? Then buy me another dress then. Church of God is not a place for human rights activists. Are you listening to me? It's a place where we reflect. Some things might be right, might be right, but not proper. You have a right to buy any kind of dress. You have a right to be anything you want to be. You have a right even to bleach. But we are saying you may have the right, but it is not proper. Let me say, if you are going out, you are coming to church in the morning, can they differentiate between you? Or will there be there between you that has come into the house of God and those that are coming from the clubhouse? Even when you go out as a Christian, not in the church, will people be able to see you and say, this life represents the glory of God? Or it just one of the children, you are like one of the children of Belial. It's not about preaching do's and don'ts. Get me right. You know me, by God's grace, I try to dress well, true of us. So I'm not saying don't be shabby. No. You have to be presentable. Because in this world, if you are not presentable, you'll be bypassed. That's the truth. But presentability is the word. It's not about doing things that are not proper. Everything might be lawful, but not everything might be expedient. So when the church is saying, do this, don't do that, we are only telling you that, yes, you can do this, but if you do it, it's not proper in this circumstance. And I will give you one example of Paul, which really touched me. Paul that gave the order, that I gave order to all churches. I said, you obey. See the way Paul himself, put this into pass, referencing even the authority of the church, even though he was their leader. I'm going to take a long passage from Acts chapter 21. It might be long, but we'll read it. Acts 21, verse 17 to 24. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received, maybe we take it from, we can take it from any translation, but and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Now, listen, verse 18, I want to be fast. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the others were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Continue. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there which believe, and they are all
zealous of the Lord. And they are informed of you how thou teachest. Maybe we put it in the message Bible now. Because I want, there are something I want to bring out. I want it to be clear to everybody. Can you put the message? And now, we were worried about what will happen. No, go back to, let's say from 20. Now we are reading for message Bible. Okay. They listen with delight and gave God the glory. They had a story to tell too. And they just look at what had been happening. Yeah, thousands upon thousands of God-fearing Jews have become believers in Jesus. But there's also a problem, because they are more zealous than ever in observing the law of Moses. That's the problem. They've been told that you are advised believing Jews who live surrounded by Gentiles to go light on Moses, telling them that they don't need to circumcise their children or keep up the old tradition. This isn't sitting at all well with them. Verse 22. We were worried about what will happen when they discover that you are in town. There's bound to be trouble. So here is what we want to do. No, is it God that wants Paul to do this one? Is it Paul? The elders of the church. Here is what we want to do. There are four men from our company who have taken a vow involving ritual purification, but have no money to pay the expenses. Verse 24. Join these men in their vows and pay the expenses. Then it will become obvious to everyone that there is nothing to the rumors going around about you, and that you are in fact scrupulous in your reference for the laws of Moses. Let me tell you, I've gone through this long passage to bring something home. Paul was one giving the other. I'm talking about reference now in the house of God as part of the ethics of the house. Reference for God, for authority, for leaders, for elders. Not just as only I only deal with the Holy Spirit. Whatever Spirit of God tells me, what I do. That's stupidity. Spirit of God will always tell you anyway. But men can also guide you according to the Spirit of God, because we use spirit to judge spirit. It's in the Bible. True of us. So Paul went away preaching the gospel and winning souls. Paul was dealing with the Gentiles who had no knowledge of the law of Moses. And when he came back, the following day he rested. They now took him to the house of the elders. He sat them down. He regarded them with the story of the exploit he has made, how Gentiles came to know the Lord. And they were rejoicing. He said, "But thank you. But we also have a story to tell you. As God was with you, preach to Gentiles, even those who were preaching to the Jews, God has been doing wonders. Many of them have become Christians. But however, there is a problem. These people, they still obey the law of Moses. And you know, Jesus said, I have not come to cancel the law. True of us. So, but what they are hearing is that you are telling them that, look, it's not the law that matters. You know, we talk about grace. You know, Paul was preaching grace. What you took to the, because if you are taking law to the Gentiles, they won't listen to him. It was grace he took to the Gentile. So Paul was preaching grace, and was grace was emphasized, not that he was disobeying the law. And rumor was going like, Paul, he doesn't follow the law of Moses again. It's only the grace that he's talking about in the New Testament. And so some people were embittered. These Jews that became born again, they didn't want to hear Paul. Now they said, now that you are in town, there's going to be trouble. But however, we want to do this thing. We have some four men. According to the law, they were doing prayer that shaved their hair. But they need to go to, they don't have money. Two things. Pay for them, and you too, shave your head and join them. When people see that, Paul, rumor money. They say everything they were doing, say about Paul, and Paul did
obey. And that brought unity. If Paul are concerned, what do you mean? I am the Paul the apostle. How can you talk to me like that? No, there would have been division. There would be rancor. Paul would have been right. Say, look, I preach grace. The others would have been right. Say, look, we want to protect the Jews. But is God the author of confusion? Or what he requires here is just reference to the author. Paul, at this point in time, submitted to the authority of the church, even though he was a leader. So when you come to the house of God, you don't insist on your own. Don't say, if things does not go my way, I will sabotage the process. And let me say, it happens in the church that when things don't go the way of some people, they would rather that thing fail so that they can prove a point. That is not the spirit of God. You don't insist on your own way in the house of God. It's against the ethics of the church. You must walk in obedience and reference one another, submit to one another. That is the way church is expected to operate. Let me quickly talk. We have another point to talk more on this. Let me quickly talk on the fourth one so that I can round up. I see my time is almost up. The fourth one, I talk about modesty. And we, the popular passage or the popular verse in this, I'm going to read it. But I want to read from, I will read it from King James, and then we read the message, and we explain something, and then we're going to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Give me in King James, then we'll read the message Bible. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pierced, or costly array. That's what King James says. And let me say, some people have taken say yes, because of this passage, women are not supposed to use earring, braid their hair, or use jewelries, this and that. That is not what the Bible is saying. That's not what the Bible is saying. Now, go. Let me give you the sense of that. Go to Message Bibles to bring the meaning home. Message Bible. And I want women to get in there with their men in humility before God. Go to Amplify. Give me Amplify. Give me Amplify version. God bless you. Also, I desire that women should address the same modestly and appropriately and sensibly in seemingly apparel, not in elaborate ear arrangement or gold or pierced or extravagant clothing. Do you go to a classic is it classic Amplified now? Amplify classic. Do you have it? Let me read it here. Now listen, and women should be the same way, quiet and sensible in manner and clothing. Christian women should be noticed for being kind and good, not for the way they fix their hair or because of their jewels or fancy clothes. What he's saying that women should be kind, you have manners, they should be quiet, they should be gentle, and they should not, the only thing they will notice them will not because of their fancy hair or their jewelries, which means jewelries were there, am I right? Which means gold were there, which means braiding of the hair was there. But was saying that should not be the what people for show off. What Paul was talking about is show off in the church. There was that competition. You do two layers, your hair, I will do three layers. Only gogoro. You wear 12 carat gold, I'm going to wear 18 carat. You buy 18 carat, I buy 36 carat. They know that I've landed. So what he was saying here It's about, he said that you should not be, not what you what you'll be noticed for is your virtue. Not necessarily by your dressing. It's not, so it's not about preaching against using gold or using earring or using jewelry. Caught me anywhere. In the Old Testament, there was jewelry that was gold. In the New Testament, there are jewelry and gold. True of us. But abuse is what Paul was talking about. So you now don't turn into the essence. Some people come to church just for display. They want to come to church just for what? For display, for show off, for intimidation, for harassment, for oppression, to oppress others. That what the Bible is talking about here, about modesty. When you come to church, be modest in everything that you do. Remember, the church of God, the house of God, is not a clubhouse. It's not a political party. It's not a playing ground. It's not where you come to meet your gist partner. It's not where you come to continue your social media trafficking. When you come to church, you suspend social media. When you come to church, you walk in orderliness. When you come to church, you walk with obedience. When you come to church, you walk with reverence. When you come to church, you come with modesty. When you come to church, obey the ethics of the church. Let it not be said of Cedar that people are rude. You know, part of reference, look at Pastor Wote, assume he's coming there, and you see some young boys, and some of them can just walk past him. They don't see anything there. He's carrying something, they don't look at him. That is wrong. That should not be allowed in the house of God. In the house of faith, there's reference. I was kindly sending somebody in my office, and I said, look, I was talking about it. I said, Mama did, Mama, Mafa Jube, God bless you, ma. Can you stand up? Let's clap for Mama. God bless you, ma. Sit down, ma. This Mama is grandmother, 83 or 84 years old. How old am I? But when Mama is coming, Mama will bend her knees. And what? Mama now comes to bend her knees, and I start Ekpelema, and I now put my head like this, and raise my shoulder like that of a peacock, and nod my head like that of a gamma lizard. That would be rude. I can't say because Mama has come to greet me bending her, and I stand upright. The moment she comes, I also bend. That is reference. She references the grace of God in my life. I reference her age. Bible say, honor your mother and your father, that your days might be long. Let me tell you, wait all day. It's not about only longevity in terms of years. But if you are really, in one way or another, maybe you are blessed. And because of the blessing upon your life, you now begin to desire those who should honor. Your reigning might not be long. So people should not entirely only in terms of physical death. That honor your father and your mother as God has commanded so that your days might be prolonged. No, it's not only about death. People may not die physically and their days of running have been shortened. So please, let the house of Cedar be seen as a place where there's respect, where there's honor, where there's dignity, where there's orderliness, where there's tidiness, where there's obedience, where there's modesty. Not that we come out and people think you are coming from a clubhouse. The church of God is a sacred place. It's not a secular arena. This morning, I want to ask us, do we really know that the owner of the house is looking at all of us? And perhaps I'm talking about the ethic of the house, and there are some people who don't even belong to the house. Because before you talk of the ethics, it assumes that you are in there. If you are yet to give your life to Christ, you have an opportunity to surrender to him today. And if you are wandered away, it's another opportunity. That's why I come to his presence today to renew your covenant with him. As you go out of this church this morning, after this service, ask yourself, do I conduct myself? Go back to read the text for this service. If I delay in my coming, that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the ground and the pillar of truth. Stand on your feet. And I want maybe Sister Abigail and Bro Paul to lead this prayer. We are standing. This is holy ground. See? And when you meditate all along, I want to, every time you are coming to church, remember that song. If I'm coming to holy ground, how do I prepare? This is holy ground.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For
listen to me. We are going to sing that one song one more time. I'll call our Reverend Adina to come and pray for us. Now listen to the lyrics of that song. We are standing on holy ground. And I know there are angels. How do you come to the company of angels? When you are coming to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, remember you are coming to holy ground. You are coming into the presence and the company of angels. So how do you come? Do you walk in anyhow? Do you dress half naked? Do you dress indecently? And you want to come and meet an angel? Want to praise Jesus Christ? Can you be the presence of Jesus and be pinging and be chatting? Can you come to the presence of Jesus and you are gisting in the church? If you know that angels are around, can you just be loitering around while the service is going on? What mind do you have when you come to church? What comes to your mind? If we put this in perspective, a lot of things about us will change. Nobody will tell you to be orderly. We take that song one more time. And everybody will come and pray for us.
We are standing on holy ground.
angels are all around.
Jesus now.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to thank God's servant, and I want to thank God for this message. This is the main reason why we don't have results, why miracles don't happen in church again, why the Holy Spirit has withdrawn from our assemblies. I am tremendously blessed and refocused. And the Lord told me as he was ministering and I sat down there, he said, as my people are linked to my instruction, I will heal them without prayer. I will promote them without labor. See the Spirit of the Lord. The message might look too simple, but it is a major key. You will not miss it. Now the instruction I have is this. We don't have time. We will combine it together. There are so many people in Zion, but they carry the spirit of Babylon. They are in Zion, but they carry the spirit of Babylon. So this morning, as we are going, I want you, don't remove yourself. Don't say, I'm not included. You will minister to yourself. You strange spirit. Spirit of stranger. Spirit of Babylon. Depart from my life now. Leave me alone now. Spirit of the house. Spirit of Zion. Spirit of Mount Zion. Rest upon me now and possess me. Go ahead and pray, somebody. Spirit of Babylon. Strange spirit. Leave me alone. Depart. Release me now. Spirit of Babylon, leave me. Strange spirit. Strangers, leave my life. Spirit of the house of God. Spirit of Zion, rest upon me. Rest upon me now. Rest upon me. Just press it, press it. We are going. I'm asked to pray. And I want you to pray before I pray. Strange spirit. The spirit of this house, the spirit of this house, rest upon me now. In Jesus' name, we pray. We will not make it part of the service. Maybe after the service, you can see us. You can see the servant of God. The Lord said to me, he is delivering some people. You have impulsive anger. Impulsive. You don't like it. You don't want it. But you fall into it from time to time. And some other vices. It occurs in your life impulsively. It just happened. Ah, you said, this thing has happened again. And it's robbing you of your glory. It's not part of the service. After the meeting or during the week, comfort for ministration and counseling. You are being robbed. the enemy is taking advantage. But by the grace of God in the house today, it is terminated. Amen. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for revealing to us areas we have been stumbling on you, trampling on your glory. The man of God read somewhere for us, you killed Uzzah because he touched the ark. We thank you for your mercy. You ought to have killed us. But you revealed to us where we have been trampling you, insulting you, disgracing you in your own house. Lord, today as we come back to you after hearing your word, we receive grace. Because without grace, we cannot do it. Let your grace flow upon us. Let your grace change us. Let your grace transform us. In the name of Jesus. Father, we receive the inspiration of the Almighty. We receive the closed fountain opened from this moment, that it will be a flow. It will not be a struggle. Let all the fountains of the Spirit, the fountain of grace, be opened in the name of Jesus. You say you are healing. Oh Lord, heal your people. You say you are lifting. Oh Lord, lift your people. You said as your people are lying to the instruction of your servant this morning, that we have testimony. Lord, bless your people. We pray for your servants. Lord, this is an enablement. You enabled him to hear it. It's not a sweet sounding message. It's not a popular message. It's not an impressive message, but he got it right. We ask, oh Lord, that you strengthen your servant the more, and you embolden him to do it more all over the world. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we've prayed.